Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere, coming to you live today from Austin, Texas, for the 2019 MITCON Marketing Innovation Technology Conference with the International Franchise Association. Great show this year. Thanks to everyone who participated, everyone who is participating virtually with some of the stuff that we were streaming. And we look forward to seeing everybody again next year at the 2020, I have a hard time even thinking about that, MITCON event. Joining me today is someone who was there really from the beginning. It's our old friend Thomas Scott from Brand Journalist. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us again. And think about this, Thomas. It was 8 years ago this week, you and I, along with Deb Evans, started the first MITCON. Back then we called it Brand Camp, and we were in your hometown of Nashville.
That's right. Yeah, in our office suite, actually, of all things.
Yeah, that was down on 4th in downtown Nashville, right?
Yeah, it sure was, downtown Nashville. You know, it was a really interesting time for franchising because we were just getting into the 2010s decade, and that was a real significant change for franchise recruitment, for advertising. That kind of social media was really kind of hitting people on the heads with like, how do I navigate this whole new world? And so that was the idea behind the original FranCamp, which became MITCON, was let's get a bunch of professionals together and have a camp style, let's talk shop and figure out best practices so we can take advantage of this decade ahead. And ironically, here we are a decade later. we have the same conversation.
What has changed in the past decade when it comes to franchising and social media? Well, pretty much everything has changed.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the reasons we even started that event back in 2011 was you and I and Deb and a few other friends, BJ Emerson was there and the originator of this podcast, and a few other folks. And, you know, we just felt that there was this gap in franchising and with the IFA conventions and some of the other events in the industry that they just kind of weren't really talking about social media to the depth that that we felt we needed to get into. You and I were both part of a core group of people who, when we talked about using Facebook for franchising, people looked at us like we had antenna growing out of our heads. Like,
oh, they still do. even though the proof in the data is just overwhelming, we started implementing a lot of those strategies, content marketing and storytelling, and thinking about where people were going to go with their devices, which was really cutting edge stuff in 2010, 2011. Now we've grown 175 franchise systems and recruited well over 10,000 franchisees since that first FranCamp. We're at a precipice though. This is a really interesting time to be in franchising because things are changing really rapidly now. And I don't think the industry is really set up for, it's going to be difficult for people to navigate some of the changes that are coming down the pipe.
Well, and that's what you and I are here for, I think, is to help guide people through some of the changes. What do you see happening, not just next year, but in the next few years when it comes to using these new platforms, whether it's Facebook and things that we're doing now, or maybe it's something else that's going to pop up. Where are you guiding your clients right now when it comes to finding that next generation of franchisees?
Yeah, I think so. Let's go back a decade
about
the shift that happened, the original shift, which really for us started with Google's Panda SEO algorithm update. And the whole gist of that update was that people, when they're doing research, Google had the foresight to realize that past decade was going to be focused much more on self-directed research, that people we're emboldened by access to information, and we're going to begin to have expectations for access and transparency to information about anything that they buy. And that, you know, the impact of that was that we had to start developing article format content marketing strategies, that which took the place on Google, the websites designed for Google SEO paid search, and all over social media, and that all those had to connect back with breadcrumbs. Like, the general idea 10 years ago was that if you want to attract good buyers, you have to do a really good job of telling your story in detail, and you have to launch much more substantial websites, and you have to connect all the social media channels so that anybody doing self-directed research can find you and follow a path of relevant stories back to your home base, which, and then that proved out wonderfully well. So here's the shift today is that in the last decade, that's all we did as an industry was focus on building websites for that Google user who was doing self-directed research. Mm-hmm. But today, there was a really good stat at the FLDC last week when we were both there, and it was eye-opening for me. The average person now spends 2 hours and 20 minutes on social media a day, most often flipping through channels on a personal smartphone in the morning or evening during work during the day. That same person only spends 23 minutes on the whole internet. So yeah. Not the search engine, but the search engine and every website that you visit in a day is 23 minutes. So that time's dramatically down. That was the reverse 10 years ago. It was 2 or 3 hours a day on the internet and just 20 or 30 minutes on social media, if any at all. And so with that implication is really severe for people who do marketing or trying to persona market to specific buyers of franchises, because now you have people that are on networks that aren't doing self-directed research with an intent to buy. They're just exploring things that they think are relevant or interesting. And so to get to those people, you have to rethink the way you build a website. You have to rethink your content strategy. You have to be much, much more tailored and specific in who and how you target. And the kind of burden of relevant content creation is much harder than it used to be, because you can't just put a website up and expect people to find it. Now you have to put the website up and then build all kind of video and content creation channels where you can, somebody's on Facebook and they're flipping through looking at pictures of cats and what their cousin's doing and who's getting married. And then, oh yeah, you can buy a carpet cleaning business. And here's why that's interesting. What do you do with that person once you kind of get their attention? Like, you can't send them to a Google style website today. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
One of the reasons people struggle with Facebook.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem that I see with a lot of websites that are still kind of stuck in that, philosophy of 10 years ago is someone finds that website through a Facebook post or an Instagram ad or a story or something like that. And they go to this website that has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with that ad or whatever got them there in the first place. And the first thing that happens is they think, oh, I'm in the wrong place. This is not what I was looking for. And they basically get chased off of the front lawn right away.
Yeah. So the conversion rates for just sending people to your website, we call that the Google style website. Those are really abysmal. Like that strategy just rarely works with any kind of level of success, because they just go right back to Facebook. Which is something we do a lot of, is use lead forms and Canvas pages and link lead forms to websites and try to collect the information and then try to do whatever you can to educate people. Works much better. But then you just have limited engagement. You're back to almost like a trade show from 10 or 15 years ago where you're, let me collecting tell you, names.
Yeah.
So it's hard. But I think the next generation is thinking about the user experience of what somebody's doing on a social channel, like say Facebook or LinkedIn. And then what kind of website do I have to build and design to educate that person after I collect their information so they become a more substantial, educated prospect? And that doesn't exist today. We're building some of those, but people haven't even figured out how to build a good website for Google yet. They're still so far behind.
They're only 10 years behind on that.
So. You really have to build a website for each channel of marketing that you have. So if you have a diverse strategy for creating visibility and awareness with the people you're targeting, you know, if you're targeting soccer moms in an affluent suburb, you have to market to soccer moms in an affluent suburb, and you have to market to them using tools and tactics and website designs and architecture that match where they are. So if they're on Google, that means a traditional website, you know, we think about the website as you know, a home page with internal pages and navigation at the top and maybe a slider. You know, that's our kind of understanding, conventional wisdom of what a website. A website for Facebook is, looks nothing like that at all. We didn't have a home page. You know, it's a kind of headless kind of beast of content that's organized in a certain way, and it designed to work only on a smartphone. And it, you know, it's just different. It's, we joke about it in our office. We call it the Tinder style website for meeting sites. It's almost like you have to mimic some of the functionality of an app and make your website function that way, even though it's a website, it's not an app, and link it to Facebook. So that's, I think that's a whole another channel that people are going to, you know, it's, we're heavy thinking about, but I think people are completely, they're going to keep getting bad results with Facebook and LinkedIn marketing unless they learn to do storytelling. And the lesson from the FLDC this year was that the average cost of a lead went up significantly this year.
Oh yeah. It's over $200 now, I think was the number.
And I would say that's mostly a function of people not knowing what they're doing. You know, it's, it shouldn't be that high. Like our lead cost is way lower than that. It's well under $100.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. But, we're seeing, you know, $60 leads are good. $40 leads are really good. And we've got a lot of clients doing even better than that. And when I saw that $213 number, I the only thing I could think of is, you know, A, this is no one I'm working with, and I know it's no one you're working with, but B, they must be spending money on something other than social media and good storytelling and good content websites. I don't know where they're spending this money.
And so that total average budget is north of 200,000. If you're going to recruit 24 units, you know, you're looking at spending $10,000, $15,000, $18,000 a month in investment in advertising. That's just what it takes to break through the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People. And the biggest increase in that, and this was great for me to hear, I'm sure in the business I'm in, was that people are realizing that they have to invest a lot more in website and website related content. So with structured websites, video projects, ongoing content, just that's a $20,000-$30,000 a year investment. That's more important. We know in Facebook, and you probably see this, if I have a $500 ad spend, which is what I usually recommend for development clients, and given that we kind of know how to reach people, that ad creative cost to develop the ongoing series of ads often costs way more than that. It's not the advertising that costs money. It's the managing it, targeting it, developing, rotating ads constantly, because Facebook is, you have significant ad fatigue. You can't leave things up for months. Like, just they diminish the results quite a bit. So I think that's a big thing, the type of website. The other thing I think is really, really important for people is the nature of contact is changing. And we see this, and people are making all kinds of excuses on why they can't get people on the phone. But I would tell you that the days of being able to cold call or return a lead call to someone or number, like, there's going to be a day in the very near future where you're not going to be able to reach 95% of the people who want to talk to you, because, and I use AT&T on my phone, it blocks telemarketers and robocalls and fraud calls and spam calls and sales calls. And Apple even has this new function that will block anybody you don't know and send them directly to your voicemail without knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
You check your voicemail to see who called you. Like, it's not even, you don't even get a notice that they called. And that's the future. Like, people are going to be much more protective of inbound calls because they're a hassle. And, you know, it's unfortunate for a recruiter whose main, you know, they're judged on how many calls they make and what their contact rate is, and that's going in the toilet. So thinking about how do you communicate with people and build a relationship with someone and have a conversation, it's going to be radically different. You know, and we don't really have software in our industry. The CRM systems are really awful at this, unfortunately, but lead nurturing, kind of push marketing, you know, I like FranFunnel. They do some great auto texting.
Yes.
I don't know how anybody could operate without auto texting today in this market, because it produces a 30% contact rate without you doing anything. And that's the future. You know, just thinking more about how do you communicate with Facebook Messenger. You and I were talking about Facebook Messenger last week, that maybe you have to start communicating with people in non-phone call ways to tee up a phone call.
you have to break into that circle of people I know, right? Because that's the only way I'm going to answer your phone call. You know, if my phone rings and I see, oh, it's Thomas Scott, I'm going to answer it. If my phone rings and I see any phone number that I don't know, what is the likelihood that I'm going to answer that? However, if I get a text from somebody who last week I was checking out their site, or hopefully this morning I was checking out their site, or I engaged with them on some level, I'm going to reply to that text right away, because I'm going to see exactly who it is. And if I, you know, am interested in doing more, it's so easy. You know, I think that's the hard part about running a sales team right now in 2019 and 2020 is helping the salespeople make it easy to do business with you, right? So someone cold calling and leaving a voicemail, that's not making it easy for the potential customer. You know, you just made their day harder. So good luck with that. Okay. Yeah.
Like if you call me, don't leave me a voicemail. Like,
oh, right.
But, you just get slammed with, you don't want to hear your voicemails. And I think that's why the studies say that even in a business environment, 80% of the people aren't listening to voicemails. Like,
and oh, email, no one is anymore.
Email's worse. Like millennials look at email, I think, like who developed a communication system where you're not going to get a reply, you can't see if somebody's online, and you don't know if they'll ever respond, and it may not even ever see it. Like that's like sending smoke signals. Like what genius developed that form of
communication? Right.
You don't understand, you know, like voicemail and email is like what grandparents use for
communication. Right.
It's not that. This is not the right way to communicate with people. So I think it's interesting, you know, and I think the form on a website, the traditional way that we recruit information and collect information is challenging too. Like, you know, the form friction is a real deal and people don't like to fill out forms. They don't like to give you applications. You have to work a lot harder to get to people. So I think those are the two big challenges. The third one I think that's really important is that the contextual targeted marketing, the segmentation of who your buyers are, is a lot more complex than it used to be. It used to be, you know, if I was going to sell a carpet cleaning business or a sub franchise, you know, I could market to people who were on Google looking for carpet cleaning franchises.
Yeah.
People right. Cool that I could hit my numbers. Well, now with the average time down to 23 minutes and the average lead at $246, like it's cost prohibitive and it's diminishing returns. That's still a viable channel. It still produces great results. But I know in our, for the brands we work with, 21% of our deals came from Facebook leads, like 21%, up from 4% last year.
Yeah. So
huge.
Wow. Like, wow.
And that's all, you know, AdWords produces 27%. So it's gaining ground, you know, and it's, yeah.
And the cost for using AdWords is way more than it was even 5 years ago, right?
Well, because there aren't people. There's nobody there. Marketing.
This
is what it is. And so now I think you have to think about, like, what are the value propositions and who are my buyers? And you have to be really thoughtful about this. This is really hard for franchise systems and the work we do. We get really detailed into who are our buyer personas. And it might be somebody, if I'm doing, you know, somebody like an Amco, it's somebody who's a mid-level or area manager at a Goodyear and maybe has, you know, some kind of relevant industry experience and also is looking at business funding and looking at commercial spaces and has visited franchise portals and maybe reads Entrepreneur Magazine. You weave this really, really specific profile and you use that to target everything. So you build lookalike lists in Facebook to match that person. You have separate campaigns, you have AdWord campaigns, you have Cornerstone SEO, but there's all kinds of strategies to get at those people. And so, you know, just like you have to now build several versions of a website to do well, you have to build several separate campaigns. And it's like playing video games. You don't really know which one's going to produce the result, but you got to have a bunch of different irons in the fire. But you have to be intentional because this monolithic buyer who just wants to buy some random kind of franchise, that's a unicorn that doesn't that exists today.
Yeah. Yeah. The term that I keep hearing over and over that just makes my eyes roll is selling franchises to millennials and marketing franchises to millennials. And every time I hear that, I just think you're talking about a group of 90 million people in the United States right now. You can't market to 90 million people. You have to break that down and market to much, much smaller groups than that. But it's a hot topic that everybody, you know, leans in and listens to and they go, oh, I better learn about this marketing to millennials thing, right?
It's the wrong topic. That's to your point. That was a topic to have 5 or 6 years ago. Like now those millennials are 35, 36, 37.
Oh, they're next year they're going to be 40. Think about that.
Yeah, and they're like, we're still like dismissing them. As all that we spend our time marketing to Gen C, like the generation for the 25 and under. Like
yeah.
That made up 4% of our buyers last year. It was shocking that, you know, I had an intern who's graduating this year from the University of Alabama. He's a business marketing major. He interned with me in my coffee shop franchises, Just Love Coffee, the year before last, and really enjoyed. Can we show them how to run a P&L and how to manage people, and you know, just all the parts of a multi-unit franchise. I mean, he thought that was it opened up a whole world to him. This summer, he interned in our agency and did editing and some writing and some blog posting, and just really got kind of real world experience in the marketing world. And this week, he and his father just signed a deal to buy 3 Just Love Coffee franchises in Birmingham, and that's their.
Right on.
He's 22, you know, but he's so like, he's like a 45-year-old, 22-year-old. And I see a lot of those people, like they're out in the market and talk. If you can't even get past your own personal issues of not being able to dismiss millennials or 38, what are you going to do with that guy? Like you're going to get his chances of getting a successful, you know, and because there's a lot of transfer of wealth from Generation X parents down to their kids, they're just much more entrepreneurial. So I think that's some real challenges technology-wise. I think you're going to see, you know, much more segmented campaigns, much different segmented types of and structures of websites. You're going to have to see, for the industry to be successful, CRM systems that we have today are just not going to cut it. Like none of the legacy platforms we have are going to make this transition. Like we need a new way of thinking. Because a CRM isn't just a database to record information. It really should be the tool you use to break through all the communication barriers and nurture somebody's conversation. Like that's the missing piece.
Yeah.
And now we just have a sales guy with a lonely phone on their desk.
calling no one who's going to answer his call.
Set up to fail. I mean, we're set up to fail. No wonder the budgets have gotten astronomical and the cost per lead is so high. It's because we can't get in touch with people who we reach. And we, a lot of times, you know, just to check, we'll sometimes go back and call leads that are 30 or 60 days old that we were never able to reach. And we can reach those people. Like they're reachable and they're interested. And some of them come back, you know, in the industry, they call them zombie buyers. Like they came back from the dead. I just think that's really funny. They were buyers all along. If you could get your head on the sand.
Right. Right. They weren't zombies. Your sales guy was a zombie for not nurturing the relationship.
He doesn't have the tools and the technology and the marketing prowess to get to those people. Like
it's
not really fair to kind of blame it all on. That's an industry problem that we have to solve.
Yeah. But it's easier to blame the sales guy though.
Generating the lead generator.
Right. For that stuff. But, right. And you can reach those people through different types of retargeting on Facebook and other places too. So they don't turn into zombies. Don't let them get to that point. Keep them in the conversation. And I think that's sort of the final point I wanted to get to about this next generation, like your young associate that just bought the 3 coffee shops. I think reaching those people without hitting them over the head about becoming a franchisee and, you know, all of the old cliche things that people have used for years about, you know, be your own boss and all of that kind of stuff. Half of these people don't even know what franchising is, but they're interested in running their own business. They're interested in being an entrepreneur. They've been following Gary Vee for a long time, right? And they're part of that whole hustle culture, and they want to do something that maybe we could help them with, but they're not even thinking about the word franchise right now.
No, and they you know, a job is plan B for that group. Like a job is what losers get. Can't figure out how to hustle. You know, like that's, I mean, our industry just doesn't understand. We get it. And we've been really good at marketing to those people. They really want somebody to pay attention to them, and they want specific types of information, and they want access to recruiters, and they want professional development. Cause that's the way you have to think about that group, is they're not looking for you to sell them. They're looking for you to help them on a path towards entrepreneurship. And so that means really be thoughtful about how to help that person develop. You know, and ask them, what do you want to learn? And, you know, we see that on a daily basis. And it's fascinating to see that evolve, you know, in industry. It's going to be an interesting, the next decade is, it's going to be topsy-turvy. We're growing at outrageous rate, you know, with something like 7,000 or 8,000 franchise systems in Canada and the US now, new ones popping up every day, more than one a day now. So it's just a matter. Yeah, I think franchising is really going to become a much more viable business career path for people as they learn that it's less risky and, you know, it's easier to get started and you can scale larger faster. I think people get that when they're younger.
Absolutely. And we're going to be right back with some contact information on how people can reach out to Thomas and learn a little bit more. But first, this episode of Social Geek is brought to you by Intrepid Direct Insurance, comprehensive business insurance designed specifically for franchises. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all required coverages, including property, liability, hired and non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, and EPL into one monthly payment. Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage no agent or broker can access. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent service. You'll save 20% by cutting out the middleman's commission. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/social geek. Thomas Scott, thanks so much for joining me today, and I look forward to catching up again real soon, perhaps in Nashville, perhaps at a coffee shop near you. In the meantime, if people want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing at Brand Journalist, or maybe they've got some questions about some of the targeting and some of the website build stuff that you were talking about today, where's the best place for folks to reach you?
Well, yeah, we definitely can hit me up on LinkedIn, Thomas Scott, Brand Journalist. Our website is brandjournalist.com. My email is tscott@brandjournalist.com. And my cell is 615-483-4923. And we do free audits. One of the ways we go about business is just, we believe in giving you some feedback, free advice, you know, just see kind of where the opportunities are. So we can look at your website and look at your lead plan and give you ideas on kind of what people are doing in the industry, because we have access to a lot of data. And whether you work with us or not, that's totally worth doing.
Take him up on that offer, folks. Check it out and get a little guidance on where you're going in 2020 and beyond. Thomas, thanks so much again for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us, Jack.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.